This is the Nick and Jules podcast.
Hello, we're here for another podcast. Nick and Jules with you. Producer Aaliyah as well. We've got a special guest who we'll address in just a moment.
Stay silent, you.
Today, a moderately different edition of the podcast. No segments, no just general chit-chat. This is directed chit-chat.
Yeah.
And something that we'll be doing, you'll notice it on the show in a couple of weeks' time as we get closer to Halloween. But last night, and we referenced it on the live show this morning, but we did talk about how last night we went to Beechworth Asylum to a ghost tour.
Twilight Zone.
Yeah, get a bit spooky. Well, it's a bit spooky, creepy, kind of, you know, same world. But we did try to go and, you know, capture some ghosts on camera. The man behind the camera, Brad, joins us right now. Thank you for coming in, Brad. Excited. It was fun last night,
It was fun. It was good. I wasn't sure how it was going to be. But no, I had fun.
How did you think it was going to pan out, first of all? How was different to your expectation?
I didn't think anything was going to happen.
Really?
Not a thing.
So you're a non-believer?
Kind of. I went in kind of, it might, but definitely, yeah, was going to happen.
This is the mentality that I had, but I very quickly changed.
Yeah, I did too.
So what happened for you?
Yeah, we should say up front, I think to some degree, everyone sort of experienced something that made them go, oh, this is a bit weird.
Yes.
This is not what I was expecting.
Yes. So it was about an hour and a half tour. Mm. We went through a number of different buildings, hospital, men's, women's areas, and a dungeon.
And a dungeon?
Well, we didn't go into the dungeon because that's blocked off, but we did go into the cellar.
Sorry, the cellar.
Yes. Yeah. And I will say, right as we got in there, they told us straight away that it was officially the most haunted place in Australia?
Yeah,
like the number one most haunted place in Australia.
I don't know how they rank it, but they've figured it out. Brad was saying to us before we jumped on, Brad, you thought that after you and I were in a similar boat, in the early stages of it, after we went to the women's portion of the prison, or the asylum rather, that it wasn't going to be much.
No, I thought nothing. No, after that first half hour or so, I thought, this is just going to be, we'll walk through, we'll get some footage and that'll be it.
What changed your mind though?
I started getting touched.
Yeah. Touched?
Yeah.
Not by anyone in the group?
Well, maybe Nick, but.
Oh. I was
hanging on for dear life.
I was, in front of the camera, good sir.
Who was it?
I don't know. It was my ankle. So a whole heap of stuff on there. Pretty much as soon as we went into the men's side. As soon as we were on the men's side, it just got a bit freaky.
So before or after I started getting tickled on my hand?
When did you get tickled in your hand, I suppose, is the...
In the men's section.
Was
it was quite quickly.
Yeah, it was before quite that.
Before that?
Whoa.
So you were staying silent that whole time.
I'm behind the camera. I can't talk.
That is true.
He's a professional.
He is professional.
He's haunted, but he's professional.
So unlike you couldn't have called out, help me.
So I think the first thing that sort of happened whilst we were walking around is we went into this big section of the women's portion of the asylum, and it was this, I don't know, it was almost like a hall of some description.
Roof and the ceiling was really high.
After the sewing room, but that really big section. And I was like a little bit confused because I said to the lady that was leading us on the tour, hey, there's no other like groups and stuff around here? Because I was hearing all these noises that sounded like a group, like sounded like footsteps and stuff. And she's like, no, there's no one on this side of the asylum at all. It's like, shit. All right.
As soon as she said that, your face just dropped.
Similarly to I think a few of us here, I went in quite skeptical. Yep. And I still probably remained largely skeptical, but I just thought, I don't know. I just, part of me is worried because I also, I'm a sensible young man and I go, how much of it was me getting worked up because it was cold and I was really tired. We were a little delirious.
And good storytelling, I suppose, too.
Good storytelling. But then also, like, I did hear this stuff and I just go, what was it? There was no one else around. What could this have been?
I don't know if, like, our tour guide was holding a feather or something and walking around very quietly or hiring
she was holding a femur bone, but...
Yeah, that was not weird.
Bizarre.
She didn't address until the very end.
I was like, when are we getting to that point?
Yeah. Producer Aaliyah, did you experience any touchings or
definitely. Feelings? So I was sort of in the same boat as you and Brad at the very beginning where I was like, this is just creepy because it's nighttime. We've been awake for ages. Mm. It's cold. And when we were in like the women's section, I was just like, she's just freaking us out.
Mm.
And then the moment that we stepped foot into the men's side, like Jules was like, oh, I'm getting tickles. And I was like, okay, sure. And then literally maybe a couple of seconds afterwards, I started feeling someone like tickling my ankle.
Mm.
And I was like, I was about to like just yell in a completely different language because I was like, I wanted to just say, stop, leave me alone.
Yeah. I wanted to know about the touching because everyone feels like everyone experienced it, it sounds like.
Mm.
So did everyone get a leg touch?
I got a leg touch.
I got an ankle touch,
You got the ankle.
I got the finger and then I was like, oh, that's weird. And then it happened again but for longer and I was like, oh, it's really making its point. So, same finger bone in between the fourth and the third.
Mm.
And then
on your right
later
hand.
On, yep, right hand. And then later on I got the head. And I thought Nick was having a go. It was like,
when did you get the head?
The head was when we were down this long corridor.
Oh, interesting. That's that is the point that I wanted to come to and would want to talk. I get something from Brad on this is because there was a portion of, it was the men's hospital section.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. And so we had just gone through like what I think was the autopsy room.
Yes.
And
where I had to lie down and pretend to get an autopsy.
Yeah, a bit of fun.
Super fun.
But there was a very long corridor that we were told was incredibly active. Incredibly, incredibly active. Now, I thought it would be fun if Jules and I, if we took it intense, if we turn all the lights off and we individually have to walk down the corridor. I made it probably like 10 meters, if that. And I thought this is
weird concept of fun.
What made me turn around was because I was like, as I'm walking, I'm tucked in, like I've got my hands under my arms, like not really trying to. I don't want to walk willy-nilly and accidentally bump into a ghost or anything. I don't know.
You were taking very tentative steps.
I was very, because you don't realize how dark it is until you get out there as well. But that is, so as I got midway through the corridor, what made me turn around is because I felt something like, almost like stroke my pointer finger. And that's why I was like, nah, this is it much. But what I wanted to come to Brad on was, you obviously, you're behind the camera and there was a section of light that seemingly a lot of us saw. There's like some sort of like, I don't want to say apparition because that like we don't know what
I think it was an apparition.
Well, I don't know. As soon as we turn the lights off in this very specific area, there was some sort of weird light movement. But in saying that, Brad, I didn't see light that I thought could genuinely cast that. So I'm interested to see, did you see anything on camera as well?
I saw nothing, but I was looking at the screen, so everything was still bright to me. So then when I looked down, I couldn't see anything at all. So it was complete darkness down there when you were seeing things.
So when we're
my eyes hadn't adjusted.
So when we're there going, oh my God, you're just
I thought you were all crazy.
Okay.
Look, I didn't see anything if it makes you feel better.
You didn't see anything down that corridor.
No.
I was
Nick and I were saying that we both saw
it was like
a similar,
almost like a
similar thing.
Translucent, sort of very light, sort of almost like a mint bluey green colour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I didn't see it.
On the right of the corridor and it was a bit wavy. And I just
because she kept saying, look at the natural light. I'm like, girl, it's dark. What do you like? There's no lights in here.
I ended up putting the camera down so that I wouldn't have the light anywhere near me just to see if my eyes had adjusted.
Well, it was, but there was like just this sort of reflection of a light in the window. And for me, what I saw, it almost looked like someone's shadow just walking in front of a light. And it was a very tall, kind of slender sort of a man. And I was like, nah, I'm playing up. And then Nick said he was seeing things. And I was like, okay, I'm not entirely insane then. I am seeing something.
It was interesting. It'll be interesting to see, Brad, what you pick up on or I capture with your
camera.
There
was a few things on audio that I could hear with the headphones through your mics that you guys didn't react to. So it was kind of like when we were down in the cellar and she was talking about that little girl that used to help out.
Yep.
And then I swear I heard a squeal or a... some kind of young girl's thing in the background.
So when you say you heard a squeal, was it quite like present or was it sort of echoey?
Nah,
what did it sound like?
It was sharp. Oh. Like it wasn't echoey. Wasn't very loud, but it was just a very short kind of, but I could definitely tell it was something.
That's terrifying.
It was very weird.
Yeah, I mean, weird is the overarching sentiment for a lot of this.
Yeah.
And you didn't react at all. You didn't jump, no nothing.
No, I think it's cool.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sure. I want to go back. I want to do it again.
All right,
10 out of 10 experience. Yeah.
I think we said this last night potentially, but it tends to be ghosts seem to be camera shy. Like, do you also think, you know, hard to apply the exact scientific mind here, but that, you know, the likelihood of us having experienced something, do you think that was possibly diminished by the presence of the cameras and the recording gear?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of why I was, if I thought something was going to happen, like, maybe this is real.
If you were even open-minded,
I thought it's not going to because I'm here with this big thing and a light. It's like, this ain't going to happen.
Yeah. We did have a really big light with us and yeah. we were shining everywhere. So I don't know. But I was talking to Jeff, I think, was he one of the owners? Or,
yes.
Yep. At the end and in the, like, the reception area, so where you walk in to actually go into the actual asylum, he was saying, oh, there's a ghost in this area. His name's Tommy. And I was like, oh, yeah, rad. Cool. Sounds fun.
They just live amongst it.
And he was telling me about how he died. So he used to work in the kitchen. He also used to be sort of like just a helping hand around the asylum itself and the hospital itself. Yeah. And I was like, well, how did Tommy die and why did he die in here? And he was like, well, this used to be the kitchens. And one day he fell asleep while he was working and then he woke up and tried to steady himself because he was a little bit foggy, obviously, from waking up. He'd grabbed a hold of something and it just happened to be a big boiling pot of some sort of liquid. Mm-hmm. And as he was getting himself up, he'd poured all of the liquid on himself and that's how he died. And I was like, oh, well, that's a bit sad. But he was saying that Tommy likes to mess with their phones. Mm-hmm. So whenever, like, they get a phone call or anything, every single time he likes to mess with the phones and make it crackly or maybe hang
every
up
time,
or whatever.
Nothing to do with reception there. Yeah.
Well, I was saying, I didn't just, have, I also was on, I had no reception in there at all.
Were you with Telstra or?
But, you know, interesting story.
Interesting. All right, look, we've got to wrap this podcast up. But before we do, all of us, I mean, three, I don't know about you, really. Who went in as a skeptic?
Me.
Oh, I did.
Producer Aaliyah?
I always am on the side of caution with these things because if it is real, I don't want to mess
so
with that.
Open-minded.
Yeah.
Mm. Now going in, Jules, I know you're
I'm not going back anytime soon, not even in daylight.
Whoa.
But with what you experienced, would you define yourself as a believer or just maybe more open-minded now?
Nah, I believe shit now.
Ooh.
Really?
Yeah.
Big.
Yeah.
No way.
Well, I want to go back.
I also want to go back. I want to go back.
See if it happens again. Like, I was a bit open-minded.
All right. Well, we'll send you
back,
both
see
in.
If it, okay.
Mic'd up, maybe.
No mics.
No mics.
No. Nothing at all.
Nothing.
But then no one will believe you.
That's right. It's for Brad. It's just for Brad. I'll believe you, Brad.
I was there. I saw it.
I think at the very least, I'm open-minded now.
Yeah, okay.
I was skeptical. Now I'm open-minded.
I think going into the men's section and when they said something like, oh, you know, people, you know, they have to get the ambulance or X amount of people, pass out or whatever. Going in with that mentality, I was like, oh, man, this is going to be interesting. But that won't happen to us. So then when
really?
I went
That's
in and none of us felt sick or so I thought, and then something did happen, I think that's when I like relaxed and was like relief walking in. We're all good. We don't need the ambulance. Then it was like, we'll get you when your guard is down.
Well, see, I'm not to point fingers, but Brad, I really was worried for you when she was saying we need to call an ambulance.
But we all survived. Yes. We're all here and we're all slightly more in touch with the other side now. All right. Mm. Beechworth Asylum. The video will be up towards the end of the month as we close in on Halloween.
Yes.
We're very excited for it. Brad, thank you for joining us last night. A lot of fun having you there.
We'll do it again.
Absolutely.
10 out of 10 for Brad.
Absolutely. If you're in the area, check out Beechworth Asylum. Very worthwhile. Really great tour, genuinely.
Yeah.
Very, very fun times.
People travel from overseas to come and see it.
Yeah. They apparently have like film crews go in pretty frequently. Mm-hmm. We'll say this, bring a jumper, bloody cold. not just because of the ghosts, just regardless of the weather is horrific. All right. That's the podcast. We'll see you on Monday as we get excited next week.
Comedy Cruise.
Woo!
Nick, part of our job is we tend to do some audio-based things. Sometimes we get pulled into a voice recording booth and record some advertisements.
You don't often hear all the ads that we voice because they're like, hey, you're not allowed to voice ads on your own station. That would be weird. But, you know, we'll voice them for other people. That's how it works. Yeah.
And what happened the other day was I was pulled into a voice booth and I was asked to voice a specific ad. And the instructions and what I was told to do was to do like a playful, flirty sort of ad. And I thought, oh, okay, what's this going to be about? Turns out it was not exactly what I expected.
Hey you, looking for a job that's as fun as it is exciting? Good news. Adult Store is calling your name. is churning up the heat looking for fabulous casual staff. Are you lively, open-minded and outgoing? Do you know how to make customers feel welcome? Then become part of the Naughty and Nice team. Enjoy flexible hours, competitive pay and an unforgettable experience. To apply, email employment at adultstore.com.au.
Wow. What a good read.
I took out the client name just in case they happen to be listening.
That's fair.
But that is not exactly a read that I had done before. Yeah. A certain type of, I guess, client that they were looking at putting advertising out.
Good on you for having the diversity in your the repertoire.
That's what I thought. Add to the portfolio. Mm. Until I got the feedback, it wasn't sexy enough.
Well, you know, I guess, if any, I mean, 13, 10, 60, you rocked up right now. I don't know.
Let's not do that. But it was a weird conversation having your colleagues say, just lean into it a bit more. Just really add to it. And there was a point where I had to sort of do like a sexy, playful giggle at the end. You're rolling your eyes.
I'm uncomfortable.
I hated it too. To the point where I was given the instruction, like a dolphin giggle.
All right.
No, that's just creepy.
So this is next level. So
that was like 10 takes and we didn't get anywhere with the dolphin giggle.
That was a sexy giggle.
You might notice.
This is Jules trying to seduce her boyfriend Peter. Come to bed, Peter.
You might notice that giggle didn't make the final cut.
Can't imagine why. Good breakfast with Nick and Jules. After 8 o'clock this morning, we play Alpha Bucks. Right now, though, I am getting very excited because on Sunday morning, 8 a.m., I am going to be doing a half marathon.
Yes, you've been training hard. Mm. Panicking?
Not, well, because I've been training hard, but just not enough.
And, yeah, okay.
I didn't have enough of a window. That's on me. I understand that, but it is on Sunday. I'm looking forward to it. I'm loosely concerned. I think I'll be able to finish it, but I just don't know what state my body and my mind will be in once I cross that finish line, Jules.
Hopefully relief.
Well, I hope it's relief as well, but I've been given a few tips over the last week as I speak to friends and family who run or do like, who have done marathons or half marathons before.
Weird circles I don't know anything about.
And they keep offering, like, they offer me lots of advice. Obviously, nice. The classic ones, like, you know, make sure you're hydrating before. And
makes sense.
Yeah, carb load, all that jazz. I was like, yeah, I've heard that before. That's fine.
Sure.
But then the one that sort of keeps coming up that I'm not really hyper prepared for and I'm a little bit worried about, they go, oh, and be ready to, like, probably bleed.
I was
like,
what do you mean?
Yeah, it's like, how are you running if you're bleeding? What do you mean? They go, oh, mate, like for your first, like, you know, if you're doing a long one, get ready to chafe. Like, you know, it's either your nips or your arms, like where your arm sort of grazes the side of your chest.
Oh, not your legs.
I chafe on my legs anyway, big boy. I've got skins. So I'll be fine in that department.
Yeah, yep, yep.
But I'm not wearing a full body, you know, skin suit.
Of course, you want to stay cool.
Yeah, exactly. So they're like, yeah, get ready. I go, is there any way to combat? And they go, sort of. I mean, you can tape your nips. I was like,
there's chafing cream out there. You can use that.
What is that for?
I've used that before.
Is that for after? Is that post chafe?
No, you have to pre. Pre-chafe.
So you preempt the chafe?
Yes, yes.
So I'll be lubing my arms up.
When I was a sweaty Betty in Kentucky and walking whatever and in the heat wave.
You were lubing your arms and legs up.
You had to prepare to chafe.
So you're offering the same running advice.
I didn't intentionally do this.
How in advance do I need to do it? Is this like a just before I start thing?
Yeah. Give it 10 minutes to sink in.
So it needs to sink in?
Yes, unless you get some Band-Aids and put that over the top of your nips.
Is this a known thing that there is that you do that, like you lube
up? I mean,
up?
I'm not in the running community, but I suppose, yes, it is a thing.
Oh, God, what an absolute, what a concern. Did you end up, I mean, not to be too TMI here, but did you end up chafing to death?
Well, the problem was I only discovered the chafing cream after one had chafed. So the days post, very good.
So you started from behind.
Yes, really.
All right. Well, if you look, it is Sunday morning. If anyone listening right now is sees me at the start line and I look unlubricated, it's not lube. What is it? It's just chafe cream.
Yes.
All right. Priest really is also going like, yeah, mate. This is
a known thing that exists at the chemist.
If you see me at the start line and I have not got my chafe cream on,
yes,
and you've got some, come up, give me a real sloppy hug. Because honestly, my nipples and my arms might rely on it.
Not Quite the News Bulletin, where I bring to you some headlines heading into the weekend that I think are important.
Yes, very important service you do.
Yeah, you know, the regular news isn't talking about this stuff, and I think that's an absolute travesty. Don't worry, hang on, because I've got you sorted. To open things up, all three stories today, I should say, come from varying locations within the United States of America. They are all a bit insane.
Okay,
so
great.
Preface them with that. Yeah, a little bit. Headline number one today, hope you like pumpkin.
Just wait until the great pumpkin comes. He'll be here. You can bet on that.
You can bet on the biggest goddamn pumpkin in the world being found over in Half Moon Bay at the moment.
Okay, how much?
In California, the world's biggest pumpkin. It's got the world record right now. They've just set it at 1,247 kilogram pumpkin.
That's enormous.
Yeah, he's won the 50th World Championship pumpkin way off.
Oh, wow.
In Half Moon Bay, California.
People take their pumpkins very seriously, don't they?
What weight do you start taking your pumpkin seriously? Because like a regular pumpkin, a couple of kilos maybe.
Anything bigger than what you get in the supermarket.
That's so crazy. Honestly, the photo of this man and his pumpkin, it looks like a small, I reckon like a Nissan Micra. Like it's
find something useful to do with your life.
Well, he reckons he could make approximately 687 pies from it.
Oh, okay, that's useful. Which is, I'll take it back.
Again, also oddly specific.
Yes.
Why 687?
Or Starbucks pumpkin spice lattes for Halloween.
If you want to do that, yep. Certainly. I hope you like pumpkin. Up next, sir, you can't bring that in here. we're going to go over to Minneapolis with this one in the States. A woman has had her carry-on luggage seized by U.S. customs officials at the Minnesota airport.
Oh, no.
Because what she was trying to take on board the airplane, she was trying to export or import, I suppose. I guess she was flying into Minnesota. She was trying to import exotic animal dung, specifically giraffe poo, in an effort to make jewelry.
No.
She had bought a box full of giraffe droppings and was going to, you know, make them into like a necklace when she gets back.
Is that a sought after? Well, that sort of material?
I guess, you know, it's unique.
So true. It's a one of a kind.
Undeniably unique. And it's going to grab it. It's going to get attention.
Yes, it will.
And it's going to turn heads.
It's going to stink.
People aren't going to like it.
No.
They're going to talk about it.
That's right. And that's what we're doing.
So it's a talking piece. And then look, to round things out, being like, did you see that in the bushes? That's the headline. Did you see that in the bushes?
Mm.
Ooh.
A lot of people make fun of me, but I don't care. I know it's there.
Yeah, he's talking about Bigfoot.
Oh.
A couple enjoying a romantic getaway in the States have caught on film what is believed at the moment to be some of the most compelling footage of Bigfoot.
No, the mystical creature.
The mystical creature they've caught him on film.
He's the just non-existent mystical creature.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm looking at the pictures, Jules.
Yeah.
How compelling?
How sharp and how clear are those images that you're looking at, Nick?
They are, you know what, honestly, the worst pictures I've ever seen in my life. If you've...
How many pixels?
I reckon half. If you've seen any of the Nick and Jules videos on our Instagram of late, you'd notice that my camera's really blurry. We're having some technical malfunctions in here at the station.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm in a higher def situation than Bigfoot at the moment.
Maybe you are Bigfoot. Who's to say?
That is true. I honestly, pretty tall.
Mm-hmm.
Not as hairy as Bigfoot.
Right.
That much can be ascertained from this photo that this Colorado couple caught, which is in broad daylight, and he's hairy. But other than that, spitting image of me, absolutely wild scenes. That's not quite the news bulletin. Finally, some evidence of Bigfoot. Bigfoot?
Bigfoot.
Bigfoot,
a
big pup, and a big old pumpkin.
Nick, if you need a bit of motivation rolling into the end of the week, which why would you? We're about to hit the weekend. Take this. A woman has made headlines overseas earlier in the month because she has become the oldest ever person to skydive.
Wow. That's incredibly impressive.
She was 104 years old. Dorothy Hefner. Good old Dorothy. She took a leap of faith and she decided to jump out of a plane terrifyingly. Oh, my goodness.
We've actually got audio of that right now.
Oh, do we?
Oh, Dorothy.
She's broken the Guinness World Record at Skydive Chicago Airport. And I love how this came about because a close friend of hers that she happened to meet at her nursing home.
Pushed her out of an airplane.
It's like, what are you doing on the weekend? He's like, oh, actually, I'm going to go skydiving. And she's like, oh, cool. That sounds fun. I'll come. Thinking maybe, you know, she'd spectate, moral support, cheer along when he lands at the bottom.
Very considerate of you, Dorothy.
No. Dorothy was like, sign me up. So started her first skydive at 100.
Then got
bitten by the adrenaline bullet and was like, let's do it again at 104. Thank you very much.
Mm. 4 years apart. Yep. 100. Yeah. Okay. Mm. Good on her. You know, she got the taste.
Now, the sad thing is, though, however, a week after her world record breaking skydive, she has sadly passed away.
Parachute didn't deploy.
Nothing to do.
Not a really good, not a good endorsement for the company, is it?
Nothing to do with the skydiving incident whatsoever.
Well, I mean, you look just at the correlation, the timing's not really good, is it?
Natural causes don't look so good right now. But what a way to go, Nick. I mean, in terms of, you know, other ways, you know, in your sleep, for instance,
choking
on something.
Well, she did go in her sleep. Isn't that what you're saying? Or did she go because of the plane?
She didn't go during skydiving.
The adrenaline was like peaking through the 7 days afterwards. So this is audio of Dorothy for the week following on from the last skydive. Mm-hmm. It's that for a week, and then eventually when she ran out of breath, she just decided to go, we're done.
So, yeah.
That was the Nick and Jules podcast.